Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hello, everyone. It's Healthy Gut Girl, and this is Stuff Your Doctor Should Know, and I'm coming to you live from deep inside your small intestines. And I want to tell you something. When I'm in here and you put your laptop right next to your gut, I can feel not just the heat from your laptop, but I can feel the electromagnetic frequency. I can. It's not good. Let me tell you, I have always intuitively had this feeling that anything with electromagnetic frequency, like it shouldn't be near you, and it didn't feel right. Like if you're surrounded by Wi-Fi and you're surrounded by anything with a battery. And now we're finding out that there's a really good reason to keep these devices away, as far away from our bodies as possible. And this gentleman that I am having today on the show, his name is Daniel T. DeBon, and he's pretty great. This guy is an internationally recognized expert in the EMF radiation, EMF shielding, and EMF-related health issues, and he has a special focus on the effect of exposure for mobile devices such as laptops, tablets, and cell phones. Daniel's concern regarding the health impact of EMF emissions grew from over 30 years of engineering experience in the telecommunication industry, where he held a variety of executive positions at SAIC Telcordia, AT&T, and Bell Labs. And he's the co-author of this Radiation Nation. And he's here to talk about this book today. And I think it's a really well-timed book. He's got a fantastic foreword in the book from Dave Asprey of The Bulletproof Diet. And I am taking this subject very, very seriously, because I feel like I'm seeing people having more and more of a sensitivity to electromagnetic frequency exposure. And I think Mark and I did a podcast a while back about the effects of harmful EMF pollution. And there was science back then, and now there is even more science, and it's pretty interesting. You're going to want to hear this, particularly in regards to illnesses, insomnia, if you have children, behavioral disorders, all this stuff. So I found this to be very shocking, what he has to say. And hang tight afterwards, because he's going to give us I'm going to tell you all about this nice gift they're giving everyone, all the listeners. Okay, so check it out. Here's Daniel T. DeBon. Okay, this is fantastic. Thank you so much for being here, Daniel. This is really exciting. I have loads of questions for you. So let's just get right going. Where am I calling, by the way? Where are you?
I'm in Sarasota, Florida, believe it or not.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's just wonderful, beautiful out here right now this time of year. And thank you so much for inviting me on to meet with all of your patients and customers and listening audience. I really appreciate the opportunity to chat with you.
I'm excited. This is a subject that actually I've done in the past on my podcast with my buddy Mark, who's a partner of mine. And we talk about electromagnetic frequency, and we talk about the possible harmful side effects. And I have always wanted an expert on this subject here, so I'm super excited to have you here. So your book, The Fallout of Modern Technology, Radiation Nation, what a fantastic title that is. Can you just start by telling us how you came to even write this book?
Yes, I don't mind at all. It turns out that about 5-6 years ago, my wife says to my sons, who were using their laptops on their laps, that she wants grandchildren. And it turns out I was in Bell Labs and I ran technical research laboratories for years and years and years. So I instantaneously realized what the problem was. And so I said, well, let's go find out if we can find some kinds of equipment that can help my sons. Long story short, I couldn't find them. I began building products for the industry. And then I got frustrated because there was so much misinformation out there. I wrote a book because people need to know what it is and what it isn't, and deal with it in our lives. It's becoming so an intimate part of our lives. You really do need to understand your environment. Mm-hmm. That's what drove the book.
Wow. And are you friends with Dave Asprey, or was he just so, because I know how much this subject means to him, was he just really attracted to the subject matter and came to offer the foreword?
It's really a funny story. We were next to each other in a booth many years ago, and he just went crazy when he found out what we did. And so ever since that time, I've been on his radio show, his podcast, and we talk about the current state of the art in this kind of stuff. And what I'll share with you, what you need to know about it.
Well, so your comment earlier, which is also in your book about, you know, was it your wife saying to your son that, you know, don't put your laptop on your lap because she wants grandkids, right? Because she kind of... she didn't really maybe know the intricacies of the science, but she knew that it's not a good idea to be putting your laptop near your, you know, your parts.
Yeah, well, it turns out women are very intuitive about these subjects. And my wife, she doesn't have a science background. She really didn't understand, but she intuitively thought that can't be good. Well, long story short, for males, after several hours of use, 25% of the male sperm is immobile.
What?
And women can be impacted even with the littlest of long-term exposures, and they can generate, believe it or not, 2% of a population get tumors, in which some actually become cancerous. A very low percentage. USA Today recently had a big write-up. It said the male sperm reduction in the country is because of the heat of a laptop. No, it's not. It's the electromagnetic radiation from your cell phones in the laptops. That's what's the likely cause of those modern-day reductions in the sperm count.
Well, that only makes sense because heat, I mean, we're constantly exposed to heat in our whole body. I mean, all the time. So that makes zero sense. But the heat generated because of the electromagnetic frequencies. So, okay, I do have a bit of a history working with EMFs and EMF pollution, which really just enough to get me into trouble.
Right.
So I have a lot of questions.
Okay.
So I don't know if you know who Dr. Robert Marshall is, but he's the creator of Premier Research Labs, which is a really, really high quality product, supplement product. And he also created the modality of muscle testing called quantum reflex analysis, which is an energetic medicine that works with the subtle energies of the body and testing for weaknesses and deficiencies. But anyway, his wife, Dr. Forbes, she's still alive, and she specializes in something called Vastu, which is kind of like a East Indian form of feng shui, except they work with the architecture of your home, of a temple, of whatever. And then she incorporated maneuvering your home in such a way that you could mitigate some of the damage of electromagnetic frequency. Is that even possible?
There's absolutely no doubt whatsoever. It's valid. You'll hear me talk oftentimes about duration and time and location. If you take something and you put it 20 feet away from you, it doesn't affect your body. If you put it on your head, you can get a tumor. So the way you actually, I call that bees in the room. The way you reduce the emissions exposures to yourself is think about in your room where the transmitters are, your Wi-Fi, your cell phone. Your cell phone issues Bluetooth, Wi-Fi, and cellular connection, three separate transmitters. Turn them off, move them away. So simple things like being aware that today more and more we're surrounded with them. If you find a way of move them away from you, you're reducing the number of bees in the room. And remember, one bee won't kill you. Many bees will.
Wow. Wow. Okay, so what about, here's the big one. What about the possibility that different geometric shapes and different alloys, different metals and different conductors that can actually you can put on your phone or near your Wi-Fi in your home can not just mitigate the damage, but also perhaps even make it beneficial. Is that possible?
I tend not to believe in that. I ran technical laboratories for 20 some odd years. The way you know something works is by testing it and verifying it independently. A lot of claims are made about these products that somehow can protect you. And there's no scientific evidence. And by the way, you were talking about indirect response, for example. The blood count changes. When I put a cell phone to my chest, my arm weakens as demonstration that, look, I can fix that, these indirect responses. Not true. Those are temporary impact to the body. It's responses to the body. If you're really looking for protection, you want to make sure you move it away, don't
Turn it
too
off.
much, turn it off, or make sure it's independently tested to verify that it stops the signal from hitting your body.
Right. Well, that's interesting. So I don't think that's fair. I don't think it's fair that we can take these electromagnetic frequencies and make them, and they're naturally harmful. It seems like there's got to be a way that we can make them beneficial, but I guess not. I guess just turning them off or moving them away is the best we could do.
Now, there is fairly recently very low frequency stuff. There's two forms of radiation we often talk about in our lives. The stuff that, when you have wire in a wall and currents flowing, you have a lamp on, there's what is known as extremely low frequency emissions. That's 300 hertz and below, very low
Okay.
stuff. And then you have, and that's actually a byproduct. By the electricity running, it actually produces something that emits. The other thing is RF, which is the Wi-Fi, the Bluetooth. That's all the transmitters that are being used to connect to other devices to communicate. So those are the two forms you got to be worried about.
Okay. So, something that Dr. Forbes used to do was, you know, she has all of these pyramids made of copper and pyramids made of this and that. And I guess this brings us to the next subject matter, which is devices that people are making an awful lot of money on. I'm not saying that's Dr. Forbes, but people out there, you know, that you can put on your phone that have certain types of magnetic and mineral sand in them that are supposed to help reduce the amount or mitigate the damage from it. So these things are.
There is no scientific proof with independent laboratories for almost all the devices you just mentioned.
Okay.
And so I can't claim they don't work, but I do know the world of science and physics tells me that that doesn't make sense.
Okay.
So there's a lot of people out there trying to make a lot of money selling things that, for example, extremely low frequency emissions. It's not attracted to ground. So when you talk about a grounding device, that electromagnetic radiation is not going to find that path to the ground. So when they claim that your dirty electricity is going to be automatically cleaned up magically by this thing, it's not attracted to it. If you have a cell phone to your head and you're using a cell phone and there's this device that's protecting you, 1.6 watts per kilogram are hitting the cells of your brain. That's not going to go away. So if you
Wow.
think you're protected, that's not true. Some circumstances may be true, but certainly not all. So you got to be really careful when you're making choices.
Interesting. Wow. So, okay, About, I know there's different types of radiation, and you really explain that well in the book. I mean, I learned so much from your book and the different types of radiation. Like, people think, oh, radiation from my microwave is the same as radiation from Fukushima, and different radiation from an X-ray is the same as radiation from when I fly in an airplane up in the sky. What are the differences? Can you go over that briefly without
Yeah,
giving too much of the book away?
but let me tell you that. When you have an X-ray, a gamma ray, that's really, really fast electromagnetic radiation. That's energy that's powerful enough to knock a electron out of a rotating sphere around a neutron, and it becomes charged. That's why they call it ionized. That's what an X-ray does. So everyone knows if they're exposed to X-rays too much, they're going to die. In fact, the inventor of X-rays died of radiation poison because she didn't know that it was dangerous. So now, a microwave oven is exactly the same frequency as a cell phone, as a Wi-Fi. So when you have a cell phone or a Wi-Fi, think of this. You have a microwave signal, not the same strength, but it's the same frequency touching your body. Why is that important? Because in a microwave, when you put a piece of meat inside a microwave oven, it gets cooked. What happens? The cells between, there's water between the cells, the water starts heating up, and they begin oscillating. When they begin oscillating, they cook. Guess what? The standard for a cell phone is they don't want the cell phone user to have heat that increases by 2% around that area of your phone. So it's a thermally emitting signal, just like a microwave oven is. It's the identical thing. So heat is certainly not what you're worried about. You're worried about the biological impact and the long-term impact of those things. So it's really much lower. It doesn't knock a electron out of its field with the electromagnetic radiation of a RF signal, a microwave signal. What that does is it weakens the cell, and the cell gets weak, the membrane gets weak, and it says, oh, I can't operate quite now very well. And then all of a sudden calcium penetrates the membrane,
Membrane of the cell.
oxide builds up within the cell, and guess what? That's when the DNA damage occurs. That's when mutated cells occur. And that is exactly the same thing as an X-ray. It does the same thing, it's just different.
So would you say that, let's say you could protect your microwave in some way, like you could put one of those things you put over your body when you have an X-ray.
Right.
Maybe you could put something like a little thermal blanket over the microwave. Would that, is the food okay? I mean, it's what's the correct term? Irradiated now? Is irradiated the correct word?
Right. You really shouldn't use
A microwave
a microwave
is the answer to that.
of the thing you're gonna eat. Heat
Yeah, that's the moral to that story.
right.
Don't eat it.
I'll cut to the chase quickly. You really don't want to do that because we know from many years that the nutritional values are destroyed when they oscillate the cells and it breaks down the material of whatever it is you're cooking. So I recommend not using a microwave.
Well, I threw my microwave away a long time ago, but I know that a lot of people, really, that's a question I get. You know, what if my microwave isn't anywhere near me and I get away from it when I cook my food? Is it okay then? And I always say, I just don't trust them. But now you've given a very good
Yeah.
scientific
Now,
explanation.
so if you're away, that's a good thing, right? Because now the distance between the B is far away, right? That's a good thing, right? But the food is right on top of the electromagnetic radiation, and it's irradiating that material and destroying it. That's why you got to be worried about it.
So then what about, you know, when you order supplements or you order something that you're going to consume from another, from Amazon, and then they x-ray it or irradiate it, before you get it? I mean, isn't that to some degree diminishing the quality of the product that you're gonna about to consume?
Yeah, but we talked about duration. Hmm. When the body is exposed, the length of time it's exposed likely predicts the potential damage to the body. If it's okay. really, really short, don't worry about it.
But if you're eating those things every day, if I'm taking 25 capsules of something every day that I order from Amazon on a monthly basis for 10 years, is that cumulative? I guess that's the question. Is this stuff going to accumulate in my body?
No, it doesn't accumulate okay. in your body. You're all right. But what they're doing, if you're buying food that's been radiated to reduce the bacteria or whatever it may be, that's very, very short duration stuff. Tends to be okay. Mm-hmm. It's only when it's a long exposure that it really becomes problematic.
Because everything that goes through air shipping, like anything that gets shipped and goes through an airplane as opposed to ground shipping, I would imagine all of that stuff gets radiated.
Yeah, it turns out that I wouldn't go through an x-ray because that's accumulating, right?
Okay.
And the fact is the maintenance on them are not well, there's not very good history on maintaining those things. So your exposures could be far exceeding the standards that they accepted. Fortunately, they're moving away from those kind of machines. They're using RF machines these days, not ionized x-ray machines, which is better for the body.
And those are the ones that you stand in and you put your arms over your head? Those are the RF?
There are, and if I haven't been clear, RF equals microwave. It's the same thing.
So basically when I go to the airport, they're microwaving me for a couple seconds. Oh my God.
When you go next time, say I want to be medium done, not well done.
I'm already medium rare. Please don't overcook me.
Right, exactly.
That's it. When you put it like that, wow, it's really disturbing. So how in the world is the government and the powers that be getting away with exposing us to these levels of radiation like this?
You know, it's funny. In 2005, about 30% of the world had a prescription for a cell phone. That's not that long ago. In 2015, the whole 100% of the world population had a prescription to a cell phone.
You mean they had purchased cell phones?
They purchased cell phones and they're using it. What does that mean? 15 years ago, they weren't around us very much. Now, all of a sudden, they're all over us.
Mm-hmm.
We're being bombarded like never before. Guess what? We don't know that much about it, although we do know more and more every day, and I'll talk a little bit about what those details are in the science community these days, but it's become a problem. Let me give you a parallel. We knew smoking back in the 30s was no good. The public didn't know. I smoked when I was 12.
What?
Because I was a big man at that time. You know, you had to smoke to be a big man. Mm-hmm. Never was there any evidence in the public domain that there was cancer causing elements of that. Of course there is today. In fact, I love to tell the story. In 1978, the chairman of Philip Morris was talking to a bunch of physicians in the UK, and the guy said, and the physicians asked him, is smoking bad for a pregnant woman? And he said, no, certainly not. There's nothing wrong with it. But the baby is likely to be much smaller. And what woman wouldn't want a smaller baby? That was the mentality at that time. So we fast forward that to today, and it's just becoming, we're beginning to learn about it. And mm-hmm. and that's why we all don't know about it. And the government, they never worry about biological impacts. They only worry about the heat from a cell phone.
Wow.
And to tell you the story, last year, National Toxicity Program, which is a division of the federal government, spent $25 million in an epidemiology study to prove that cell phones weren't damaging to the brain. Sadly for them, it proved the reverse. It proved that there was a direct correlation between the cell transmitters to your brain and your heart, the frontal lobe of the brain and the heart. So there's now more and more scientific evidence that is beginning to document the problems and the challenges we were faced in with the modern use of our technologies.
Wow. You know, it reminds me of the, I think it's the scientist Claire Patterson who discovered that, he discovered the true age of the earth, but he discovered that lead was toxic, that it was getting into our atmosphere and that it was getting into our groundwater and that it was killing people from the leaded gasoline, from anything that ran on our petrol. And he put forth this amazing science, and the lead, whoever was in charge of the lead industry, had hired a scientist and spent a lot of money to fund his research that showed that lead was fine. And then after, you know, lots of people died and lots of the environment got sickened from the lead, finally they said, okay, he's right. And then we got, you know, unleaded gasoline now and whatnot. But it seems like a lot has to go wrong before stuff gets fixed. And that's a shame.
Yeah, Kat, what's the oil that's just been, cooking oil that's just been banned?
That's just been banned? Not canola.
The trans fats,
of course.
Okay. Mm-hmm. 40 years ago, a biochemist said, it's not the fat in the milk or the butter that's killing you. It's the trans fats that are cooking the stuff so it lasts longer on the shelf. It took 40 years to be banned.
Right. I forgot about that. So, yeah, that's another good one.
Yeah. So this is not unique.
Right.
When the smoking linked to cancer happened with litigation, it became common knowledge when they litigated and lost, and the direct links became common knowledge.
And so that's cigarette smoking and trans fats. That's not something that we like. I feel like the Wi-Fi and these electromagnetic frequencies. And the lead, those are two good examples of things that are so intricately, you know, linked into our lives. I mean, can you imagine if all of a sudden they came out with all this science, like on CNN, and they said, listen, we got to start turning off this stuff. We got to start moving away from it. We got to find better ways. I don't know that people would. I think some people would, but I think people are so, it's such a part of our lives to be using our phone constantly. The microwave, but everything else, the remote controls on our TVs and, you know, all these other things, it would be so difficult. And I mean, I already find it difficult to remember to put my plane on my phone on airplane mode at night and stuff like that.
Yeah, you know, it's funny that we talk about the challenge with this stuff, and when my son and I wrote the book, it was really interesting to see. We actually were interacting with a lot of the science community and actually getting them involved in what we were doing, because we wanted to be a science-based, simple, easy to understand book for people for moms, for grandmas, for people to understand where we are and what you need to know. What we found is some of the most premier doctor experts in this space weren't talking to each other. Hmm. One of the, you know, a radiologist, the most well-known radiologist read the book, and he didn't realize that there can be as much damage to a cell as an ionized signal. So it almost like there were these silos of knowledge, but they weren't cross-pollinating. And then you have these other factions, which are maybe learning or know that's more of a problem, but they're not motivated because they're financially driven for other reasons. So that was, again, one of the reasons we wrote the book. You need to know. You need to know the facts.
Yeah, I love that this book was so easy to understand. Really an easy read. I read it really quickly. It was so, so easy. I was sitting there writing questions, you know. So how about if you live pretty close to a cell phone tower? I mean, I can see it from my window. It's probably, I don't know, probably like 150 yards away. Is that really bad?
Well, I got to tell you, if you were 200 feet away, I'd say move.
Wow.
But you're in a space where, and this is why, it's a constant low level energy that's always on. So when you're 200 feet away, 24 hours a day, it's more likely true than not, your cells will have a negative reaction. But when you're 200 yards away, it's much less danger. Even though it's constant, the load is, here's a way of thinking of it. When you have a 1.6 watt per kilogram, which is a cell phone, on your head, that's when there's most danger. You move it 1 foot away, 80% of that danger is gone. That much. When you put it 4 foot, 90% or more is gone. Why? The signal level strength drops really, really fast. It's a logarithmic function. So just stay away from it as much as you can, and you're fine. In your case, I would say you're probably all right.
Okay, good. And what about headsets? So like the headsets, like these, you know, the headphones with this, with the that you put in your ears, to the the earbuds, you know, what about those? Do those mitigate some of that?
If you have a cell phone to your head, that's the worst use you can have. If you have it wired using earbuds, that's better than the directly to your head, but there's extremely low frequency emissions being generated. And if you're on the phone for a while, that becomes a problematic, because you remember, it's the frontal lobe that's being exposed and affected by those emissions. So you really do want to avoid them if you can. But if you use them, make sure you keep them and use them short durations, not long. You put nothing and put it on speaker mode and you're fine, because the distance is fine.
And, okay, here's my biggest question I couldn't wait to ask. I'm so excited about it. Has there been any research on the effects of electromagnetic frequency on gut bacteria, on the bacteria on our microbiomes?
Wonderful question. And I'll tell you why. We haven't talked about electromagnetic hypersensitivity. 20% or more of the population is getting more and more sensitive. They put their phone on top of their head, and it hurts. They can feel the heat. Most of the time, people can't feel it. But for some, it gets really sensitive for them. So we've actually been looking into the what are the actions you can take to try to deal with this. And one of the things was the inner gut. You probably know better than I, but probiotics are, if they're not destroyed after the first quadrant of the stomach, they're more likely to improve the system's own immunity infrastructure to keep you safer. So there's that one aspect of that. And the answer is, and this is how it relates. When a cell weakens because of the exposure, what's happening? Its immunity system is not responding. And that's actually what's happening. There is a lot of suggestion recently over the last few years that it's not just the gut, but it's also the electromagnetic radiation is actually suppressing immunity, immune systems. So it's all related.
I guess it was a rhetorical question in a way, because I know that intrinsically I know that that has to be the case, because if it's affecting the human cell and the mitochondria in the cell are very much alive, like a microorganism, then why wouldn't it affect all the other bacteria on the body and in the body? And, you know, I think that it's a... we'd be crazy to think it didn't. But you know what I think is, once again, I'm going to go back to my original question or desire, which is I wish that we could make these frequencies beneficial in some way. Well, I read this study in the scientific journal, I think it was Scientific Magazine, that talked about these bacteria that they found in, I don't know, the Potomac River or someplace really nasty. And they took like an electrode wand or something. And I don't know, I'm not a scientist, but you get the picture. And they stuck the wand in the edge of the river of this stagnant water. And these bacteria started to collect around the wand, and they started to eat the electricity that was coming off the wand. And they started to literally poop out electricity. And then what they were creating this electromagnetic charge. They then were attracting other bacteria, and they were forming like these chains of, almost like extension cords, you know, they were like these wires of bacteria. And I thought, wow, you know, and they were talking about bacteria that can eat like iron, they can eat metals, they can eat rust, and then they can turn it into something beneficial. And I thought, there has to be, someone needs to invent, maybe you, somebody really smart needs to invent something that could, I don't know, change the frequency of these harmful frequencies and make it beneficial in some way. It's my fantasy. It's a dream I'm having, because I think bacteria are miraculous. And I think if they're going to survive long after we're gone, just like they were here long before we arrived. And I think that if anything, maybe they could help us evolve into beings that could do something with these frequencies. Is that crazy?
No, actually, it's not. As you probably know better than I, there are 10 times more bacterium in the body than cells. And when that becomes imbalanced, anything can happen. And I actually believe the cell itself weakens as a result of that. So I think it's your dream is a combination of two things. We got to figure out what to do with the electronics so they become less damaging to the cells. And we have to do something to balance the body to deal with this better than it does today. And I tell you that there are regimen that is emerging with the spores I was talking about before. And I've also, I don't believe in most of the medical treatments for the improvement of the cell to deal with this stuff, because I don't think they understand the problem. It's cosmetic. But recently there's been some work with some where they actually can rejuvenate the cell and prevent it from weakening under the presence of an exposure. And the reason why I'm interested in that is because we get a lot of people who are suffering from electromagnetic hypersensitivity. Yeah. And we can't give them a product. We can, and there's a temporary relief and there's protection, but it's certainly not helping them in their daily
lives. Right, because there's people, you know, I went to an office the other day where I was doing some work with, collaborating with some people. It was a large, large office, and it was one of these sort of like very forward-thinking places. You know, it was all, everything was ergonomic and everyone was working together. They didn't have separate offices. It was like a huge room with just everyone facing one another. And it was very, very cool place. But man, there must have, just when you walk into the main room, you could just see the tops of 100 computers. And then everybody's sitting around, and then the Wi-Fi in there, and then there is TVs everywhere. And I thought, wow, people are sitting there from 9 o'clock or 8 o'clock in the morning until 6 o'clock at night. Right. I mean, it has to be detrimental. And personally, I like when I have my laptop on my lap, which I try not to do, but it's just sometimes, you know, you got to move around when you're writing all day and stuff. I feel it in my bones. And I know it's not in my imagination. I feel it. And when I'm holding my phone and texting or whatever, I feel it in my bones. It's not just the heat, but it's almost like a aching. And maybe it is mental, but I think it's real.
No, it's very real. You tend to be more sensitive. You're part of that 20% or so. By the way, when you smell gas or perfume, does that bother you at all?
I can't stand the smell of gas. It's like the second that I can, not just gasoline, but like if my pilot light on my my heater, because we have an old-fashioned heater here, if it goes out, I can tell instantly. I can tell.
So now I'm going to tell you something that most people don't know.
You're going to scare me.
If you're electrically hypersensitive, you're also multiply chemically sensitive. the way I know that you are actually feeling this stuff is because you also are your volatile organic compounds bother you. Why is that important? A cell's a cell. A cell doesn't make up a different way of reacting to a toxin. Wow. And that's why it's the same.
That's so interesting. Okay, so let's see, for our listeners, if somebody didn't catch that. So basically, the cells in my body, they don't know the difference between a pesticide and a electromagnetic frequency and the smell of a toxic bit of gas. They're just going to have a reaction to it. And that reaction can be different in everyone. But for me, I get a little bit like nauseous, and I get a little bit, it's unbearable, actually, like the whole scent part of it. So the body is just saying it's having a reaction, it's sensitive to it. I mean, right. I've seen people come in who have literally have to wear masks because any... Oh, yeah. Now, I know there's also, you know, there's also physical, biological issues, imbalances in the body that can create hypersensitivity to all kinds of things, like mold, like Dave Asprey talks right. about it. You know, when you have mold exposure, it makes you so sensitive to any toxin. It's unbearable. Yeah. But that's interesting to start looking at electromagnetic frequency as a pollutant, as a toxin.
It's a toxin to the body. And in fact, the World Health Organization considers it a category 2B carcinogenic.
Wow.
Arsenic is a 2B carcinogenic. So, and in fact, one of the, and it's been true about for the last 10 years, it was categorized as that. He actually said he now believes, one of the people on that committee, he now believes it should be category one. In other words, it is clear with that exposure, it will create cancer.
I mean, how do you sit in a room with a panel of people making rules and laws and call yourself the FDA or the FTC or whatever and get that information and then say it's the heat that's causing the problem?
Right.
How do you do that and go to sleep at night?
Yeah, I haven't talked about this. The standard for the cell phones were created 30 some odd years ago. It was built around a 6-foot male that occasionally used the cell phone. By the way, it was about 15 minutes a day. I like to remind people, 30 years ago, none of my friends right. had cell phones. So it wasn't a big deal, right? That signal was determined by the standards that the signal couldn't penetrate the head by 1 inch and couldn't heat up by 2 degrees. A 6-foot man, wow. fully formed adult. What happens to a child? A child has a very immature membrane, skull. The materials within the body are very immature. That signal go completely through the head. And remember, the thermal is only thermal. They never considered biological.
Wow.
And now your child's child is using a phone when they're 6 years old.
Yeah, they're using a laptop and they're toddler.
And more than 15 minutes, right?
All
Think
day.
Of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really shocking. That gives me chills. Like it makes me have pause for a minute because that's horrifying, you know?
It's serious stuff.
And same thing, what about the little Bluetooth earpieces? And what about Bluetooth?
Okay, I like to talk about this in terms of the strength of the signal. When you talk to a cell tower, your cell phone, they can go 3-5 miles. It's pretty big, pretty strong, a lot of energy. Wi-Fi can go about 500 feet from your cell phone to your router. A Bluetooth signal can go about 30 to 50 feet. It's much less energy, but it's an RF signal. It's a thermally emitting signal. It is the identical signal that's coming out of a microwave, but the power level is less. So is it good? I recommend be careful, because if you're using it in a short period of time, don't worry about it. But if you have a Bluetooth constantly on all day and all night, on your ear, I believe that's increasing your potential dangers. I won't quantify how much, but I'm telling you, there's clear evidence that direct correlations exist that are not so good information.
Yeah.
Put individual if you get the terminus.
So when do you think regulation will start to happen now that the science is becoming more and more substantiated? Or do you think it'll happen?
Same as smoking. Right. They'll lose in the court. It's already happening around the world. When cell towers were brought in and they lived 175 yards away.
Yeah.
and they got ill. Courts are now concluding that it was the exposure to the RF signals that was the problem. So we see that more and more. In California, Berkeley, Dr. Markowitz, they now require anybody who sells a cell phone on their campus, they're required to identify as a potential hazard. Guess what? That's like cigarette smoking. They were required to put a stamp on it. So all of that's beginning to happen. We're learning more. And I think the trend is towards us more common knowledge of the subject matter. And I think in time it's going to be well known. In the meantime, you are the one responsible for making sure you reduce the bees in the room.
Right.
Because no one else is going to do that.
I like that. Reduce the bees in the room. I like that a lot. So just one more question about smart meters. I mean, there's nothing we can do about that. I mean, we can just say don't install it, right?
Yeah, but that won't work most of the time. That is an RF signal. It's about 1.2 gigahertz, roughly the same as a cell phone. But if it's on your garage wall and it's 30 feet away, it's not a problem. It's not a reason to panic. If it's on the outside of your bedroom wall and you sleep with your pillow at that wall, that is a serious problem. But in those cases, move your bed.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so you got to be aware that distance is important and the time of exposure is important. You want to reduce those and you want to put a distance between you and the transmitters.
So
don't panic.
It just seems like so much, you know, people ask me all the time, you know, things like what's causing all of these non-communicable diseases to be on the rise? What's causing autism, you know? And I just don't think there's one certain thing. I think it's this toxic burden that we endure where, the smart meter's only, 30 feet away, but then the Wi-Fi is 25 feet away and the cell tower is 150 yards away and my remote control. And then I have 15 devices in my house. And then I have, I'm on a busy street, so there's pollution. And then my food is not all of it's organic. It's like, oh my goodness, it's overwhelming the toxic burden that we endure, you know?
Yeah. In fact, I have a friend of mine, a biochemist, and we talk about that all the time. She likes the bees in the room concept because everyone can understand it. More generalize it to what you just said. There are more toxins in our environment. There are more bees in the room. And we know for sure ADHD is increasing, and there's a direct correlation to exposures to electromagnetic radiation. We know that. We know leukemia is directly linked. We know there are so many illnesses directly linked to exposures to electromagnetic radiation. And it's because those increases are being driven by the encroachment of those toxins in our life.
Okay. So just a random rookie question here, just because I know some people out there are thinking it. So are you worried, like if you were on the West Coast, would you be worried about Fukushima and the potential for radiation in our water and our fish?
I wouldn't be worried. I wouldn't eat fish.
Oh, no. Okay.
And the reason why is because of the point you made before. It's cumulative. Mm. When you have the tuna, particularly the tuna, it stays within the fish. So I'd be careful about that. That's one thing that's really pretty real. But it's not affecting you as a radiating source where you need to worry about it. But it can be contained in the food you eat, and that would be I'd be careful about that.
Wow, this has been horrifying and wonderful all at the same time. So why don't you tell us, first of all, I want to know about what I can do when I'm putting my laptop on my lap. I know what you're going to say. Don't put your laptop on your lap. It's, you know, I go to the doctor.
Doctor, doctor. Yeah. It hurts when I do this. Don't do it.
We were just going to tell the same joke at the same time. Yes, I know. So I want to know about, you know, devices that I can use that, yeah, maybe they won't altogether stop it, but if I'm going to use it, is there anything I can use?
Yeah, we talked about regimenting your environment, structuring it so there's mm-hmm. protection. I like to put a cell phone to my head and talk.
Old-fashioned-like.
The old-fashioned-like. And so, actually, if you find a company that can build products that shields the signal from passing to your mm-hmm. brain, that's something you can should mm-hmm. consider. For laptops, for tablets, for cell phones, particularly tablets, because kids, their lap. So some science believe that a 12-year-old girl being exposed to an RF signal will have damaged DNA in the womb, the egg of the womb, and that subtending generations can have that mutated cell.
Wow. So
we don't even know that yet.
So you're saying like a 12-year-old, like a prepubescent young girl, the ovum, the egg she carries can be damaged. The DNA of those eggs can be damaged before she's even fertile. Wow.
Right. Think of that. So you should look for protection. You shouldn't treat this mm-hmm. lightly. It's serious stuff. And if you can find products that can mm-hmm. shield, you don't have to worry about duration. You don't have to worry about distance.
Okay.
And that's what I'd suggest you do. And you want to make sure that whatever claims are being made, they're independently verified by independent source.
Okay. Well, tell us how we can get your book, please.
You can go to defendershield.com. That is a website we have that actually sells those mm-hmm. products, but we also have our book. Or you can go to radiationnationbook.com.
Okay.
Or if you would like, go to Amazon.
Okay, great. It's on Amazon. Great. I want to get mm-hmm. I want to get a laptop cover right away. Yeah. Right. And anything else that we didn't touch on that you might want to share?
You've heard me talk about this a number of times. We have an increase in the bees mm-hmm. in the room. Our environment is becoming changing like it always has for millennia. And you do control the things you live that are around you. You can take action. There is nothing to panic about. It's all about things you can take action to do, and they're simple. They're not complex. Put a timer on your Wi-Fi at night. Turn it off. You don't need to have it on at night because you're not typing away on your laptop. In the middle of the night, you're sleeping. So things like that. Don't use the Wi-Fi on a printer, wireless printer. Use an Ethernet to connect. When you use your laptop, connect with your Ethernet cable. Don't use wireless. When you have a mouse, don't use a wireless mount. That's a Bluetooth. So simple things you can do to improve the probability of being more safe in the environment.
I was amazed in the book about how many countries and schools and colleges and cities have already instilled regulations within their systems to say no Wi-Fi in the preschool, no Wi-Fi in the kindergarten, no Wi-Fi in the hospital, like all these different places. That was really fascinating to me. And you're right, we're going to have to take it upon ourselves and do it ourselves.
Yeah. You don't wait for anybody because no one's going to do it soon. You're right. Sort of an interesting story. When we started Defender Shield, Ryan and myself, we sold more products to Europe than we did to the U.S. It was like they seemed to be more aware of the potential dangers in their lives. And what you just spoke about in terms of grammar schools, 0 to 12, they don't allow Wi-Fi in that classroom. And so things are really evolving, changing for the better. So that's
amazing. Well, thank you so much. This was so enlightening, and I just feel like I know so much more, And I want everybody to get this book because I was just sitting there. I have so many highlights through here and little post-its and everything. I think it's brilliant, and you're doing a good thing just spreading this word. You know, we're going to look back in years to come and say, this man helped change the whole idea that this, you know, the way we perceive electromagnetic frequency. And for that, you should be proud. So thank you.
Well, thank you so much for inviting us, first of all. And thank you for giving us an opportunity to share what we have learned. And I appreciate you asking the questions you did. You really did a good job today asking a really question people should know about. So thank you so much.
Thank you. All right, so we will talk to you very soon. Thanks again, Daniel.
Thank you.
Bye. All right, everyone. Is that crazy? Wasn't that slightly disturbing? Not slightly. It was like majorly disturbing. I mean, it's good information and it's always good to be armed with knowledge, but it's also scary, right? Like, I don't know. It just, the idea that this stuff is not regulated yet and, you know, it's this big machine that's already in motion. You know, everyone's lives are so intricately intertwined with these devices and it's really hard to undo it. It's hard to mitigate that. But thanks to him, we all know a heck of a lot more. And guess what they're doing for us? They are going to give us a 10% discount to all the Healthy Gut Girl listeners and Stuff Your Doctor Should Know listeners. And that coupon is all lowercase, Healthy Gut Girl, and the number 10, Healthy Gut Girl 10. And the website, once again, is called defendershield.com. And I already went, and if you buy more than two things, you actually get free shipping. So I already got a laptop protector thing because I'm always, you know, putting my laptop on my lap, of course. And headphones, and then there's just a lot of good products there for you to check out. So thanks everyone for joining us. Please leave a review on iTunes. We really could use it. We could use the love. And follow me at Healthy Gut Girl on Twitter, Healthy Gut Girl _ on Instagram, the Estrogen Dominant Support Group on Facebook, the Healthy Gut Girl on Facebook, and check out the Total Gut Makeover at healthygutgirl.com. I'm still running that special, by the way, $76 off. It's a deal. Okay, friends, see you soon.